for joining us, and welcome to the Reptile Living Room, featuring John Taylor of Herp House Magazine and James Tintle with Cold Blooded Publishing. The Reptile Living Room is brought to you by Herp House Magazine, the premier digital magazine for the reptile hobbyist, and by Cold Blooded Publishing, your exclusive reptile media publishing company. Now, here are John and James in the Reptile Living Room.
Good evening, folks. Welcome to another broadcast of the Reptile Living Room. We are the only independently produced and distributed live reptile broadcast available today. Each week, we bring you a specific panel of herpeticulture and herpetological respondents to discuss the various aspects of our community and current events impacting and affecting herpeticulture and herpetology. Reptile Living Room also brings you modern-day technology to our community through an interactive platform. You can interact with our hosts, guests, and other like-minded individuals on the Reptile Living Room YouTube channel during the entire broadcast of the show. And today, I'm your host, John F. Taylor of Reptile Apartment Group, and I would also like to introduce my co-host over there, James Tintle of Tremendous Tricolors. How you doing tonight, James?
Pretty good. How are you, John?
A little bit tired, but, you know, doing okay.
Well, that's good. Enjoyed the week?
Yeah.
Stayed busy, yeah. I would assume?
Oh, yes. Always stayed busy. Always staying busy. Got a new article coming out in Herp House Mag on moving with reptiles. Kind of a tie-in with the one of our sponsors, Rachel Winton, Happy Gecko's Sticky Situation. Do check those guys out. Awesome stickers over there. She wrote an article for Reptile Apartment on moving with reptiles. And we threw that up on the Reptile Apartment, and there's a companion piece to that, Reptile Living, or Reptile Moving in Canada, which is going to be in Herp House Mag in this coming issue, July. And featured in that issue is also going to be the Blue Maestro, which is a temperature device that you and I have been testing. You actually got the latest model.
Yeah,
you
I did.
Got a better model than I did. Mine's still on its way.
I'm loving it, too, because I have it set up in the incubator, and I can tell highs and lows and find out the average. It records the data on whatever hour, half hour. I actually have it set on the hour because the flexibility, but it's a great product. Great product. And they have a new one coming out that'll be released in August as well. And I'm looking forward to that one too.
Yeah.
Because it's gonna record barometric pressure and also humidity. So I'm pretty stoked about that.
Very definitely. Really cool product. And that's bluemaestro.com, by the way.
Yep, and the product name is Tempo. So if everybody Tempo. Wants to know, it's Tempo.
Definitely. And so tonight's guest is, I'm going to let you introduce him, James. So basically it's kind of like a raffle for Wounded Warriors, but there's like this really huge prize.
Yeah.
Or a list of prizes, actually.
Absolutely. You know, it kind of goes along the line of RACA's US ARC stuff. Where they have a huge prize, you buy a ticket for the raffle, and you get a prize at the end. The money raised gets donated to a specific charity, or in RACA's case, and goes to USARC. But Deloy Davison here, he's got one that goes, all the donations go to the Wounded Warrior Project. So it's a great way for us to, as a reptile community, come together and help these wounded warriors coming back. So it's something I really believe in. I support it 100%. It's a great idea. And everybody in the reptile community is really good at, you know, helping out others. We see it all the time. I mean, at least I do. I don't know about you, John, but I see it all the time. Hobbyists, medical issues, accidents, falls. We all come together to help out the hobby. So, right. and it doesn't matter if you're only in the hobby for, you know, 2 or 3 years. If you're a good person and you enjoy it, people will help out. And that's one of the great things about the hobby that I see going forward.
Definitely. You know, and like you said, everybody's coming together, you know, and obviously in the celebration of the United States independence, because now I'm in Canada, I never thought I'd say that. Celebration of the United States and you know, independence from the British. Gosh, that's really weird to say. Not living in the United States anymore. But that's another reason we brought on the Deloitte with the and it's called the Frilled Warrior Project, correct?
That's correct. It's called the Frilled Warrior Project because they actually have a frilled dragon that'll be actually put in the cage, and we'll bring Deloitte on here in just a second, and he can explain to us all the great details about it. But
very cool. Any more shout-outs you want to do? I know the Rocka raffle is ending tonight.
Yeah, they're going to draw a winner tomorrow, July 4th. So anybody that don't have their tickets, go to Rocka, RAACA.net, and purchase your tickets. You have till midnight tonight. Go purchase your tickets. It's $35,000 worth of stuff you can win. But, you know, like I said, the proceeds go to US ARC. They're one of our main contributors, help us out fight these laws that are going against us. And there's some crazy ones out there. And USARC just posted one for West Virginia. And if nobody's read it, you need to go read it because it is astronomical on what they consider dangerous wild animals or dangerous animals in their list. Gobies, tetrafish.
Tetra, that's what it was.
Yeah, tetrafish. They have turtles and tortoises as dangerous animals. It's unbelievable what the state is trying to push through up there. And hopefully, you know, with the help of US ARC and many other hobbyists, hopefully we can actually look at this and make sure it doesn't totally ban every animal. Right. I read the document that was shared by US ARC, and it's crazy. Crazy.
Guppies. Jesus.
Yeah.
It's just insane.
Yeah. I mean, you know, a lot of those on the list, I mean, they have gobies on there, which I understand is an invasive species.
Right.
But it's not a dangerous species. And the way they have it listed and worded makes it, you know, a dangerous animal. Well, these animals aren't dangerous. You know.
Scare tactics as usual.
Yep. So, but it'll coincide. We also got to keep an eye on the Python ban, too. Comments will be closing here, I think, July 24th. We've been asking for an extension for that one and not to leave out the spider tortoises that we covered last week. We want to make sure everybody gets their comments in on that one. And that one comment section ends in September 8th, I believe. So I want to get those all covered. I'm working on an article that covers the Endangered Species Act for the herp community, for the reptile community, and why that act isn't really the best thing for a lot of animals to be put on, and why it's not fully the best thing for the animal.
Yeah, and we covered some of those topics, too, in our last conversation about the spider tortoises with Daniel Parker of Sunshine Serpents.
There you go.
There you go, Daniel. There's your plug, buddy. And we had Russ Gurley on there. Gosh, there was a huge panel of people that we had and discussing why the Endangered Species Act was just – the intentions are there are good, yes. Some of the laws that came afterwards, not so much.
Well, you know – the Endangered Species Act itself is actually a great idea, and it secures habitat, critical habitat for the species, and it does great for stopping the extinction of the species, but it doesn't do very well to help repopulate those areas that we preserve, and that's where I'm going to get into the article. It should be published in this month's Herp House magazine. I'll also have an internet edition of it. It won't have as much, but it's definitely something very interesting that I've learned a lot going through. So in the meantime, I wanted to do a shout-out for Natalyn Bieto, the wildlife illustrator. She's another one of our show sponsors. Make sure you guys catch her on Facebook. She's got some great products up there, magnets. She got a great bumper sticker. Oh, there you go, John.
Stickers. Let's see over here. Oh, there's another one. There's one of my favorites, the little chameleon one. There he goes.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, I got some of those in the mail the other day. Very cool stuff. And our refrigerator is now covered in magnets. So, and what do we got in the comment tracker over here somewhere?
Oh, we got something up already.
I don't know.
Please do a shout out for Cheryl Mitchell of Scaly Tales. She will be doing a 4-hour radio show on WFHB.org from 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. I believe that's tonight. And she also states, Cheryl Mitchell also states, let's ban politicians. Yeah, wouldn't be that, it would be too easy. So
yeah, wouldn't it though? Jeez.
I think that's it on news. We do have another show sponsor, ReptilesExpress.com. Debbie over there, if you got animals you want to ship, geckos, snakes, whatever, contact Debbie at ReptilesExpress.com. Great group of people over there. Great rate shipping rates as well.
Definitely. Really cool people. And I talked to Debbie a couple of times, and she's a great lady. I love dealing with Debbie.
Yeah, she definitely fixes my problems when I have shipping issues. She's usually having an email in my inbox before I can even send one to her.
Nice. Oh,
Jimmy, your shipment has been delayed. Don't sweat it. I'm already on top of it. I'm like, great.
Awesome.
So
that's kind of people we need. You know, you just give it to them and they just handle it.
Yep.
You know, anything comes up, it's handled.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. And I want to thank Douglas Mung for turning me on to Reptiles Express, too, because it's been a true lifesaver in a lot of situations. But other than that, I don't have anybody else I want to cover. No news other than that West Virginia stuff. You got any news come through your feed?
Not lately. Other than this, I may have this wrong. The discovery of two new species of rattlesnakes in Mexico, I believe. I haven't checked up on it yet, but I think that was the headline that I read or came across. Did you hear anything about that yet?
Yeah, I downloaded the paper. I haven't had a chance to read it. I'm going to read it over the weekend, probably tomorrow.
Same here. Same here. All right. That's the only news that I knew of with anything venomous was the new species with rattlesnakes that were discovered. So yeah, great. Let's talk about this Frilled Warrior project. I'm very interested in this.
Well, let's go ahead and introduce Deloy Davison. He's the creator of the Frilled Warrior project. How you doing tonight, Deloy?
Not too bad. How are you?
I'm doing great. So let me start off kind of getting your background with this project. When did you first get interested in reptiles? Because I found this a very interesting factor in our pre-interview talk.
I actually used to be a manager at the local Pizza Hut, and one of the gals that worked for me had some red tails. We went over there, hung out a few times. Really kind of got to, you know, be more familiar with the reptiles in general. Thought they were really cool, and she had a pair of albino king snakes that she was going to give us. And the amount of time it took her to tell us that she'd give them to us and we were supposed to get them a couple days later, the female, which was named Pinky, ate the male that was named Brain. And she was freaking out about it for about 4 or 5 days, just poking it to make sure it was still alive.
Gotta love king snakes. They'll definitely do that. So, did you ever get the pair of king snakes from her, or
we got the female. The male was actually the same size as the female when she ate him, and so you know we got the female. She ended up being okay. Had her for a while, and then got more into red tails. Kind of messed with the ball pythons a little bit, but those just didn't really, you know, fit with what we liked. We've got some red tails now. We got some leopard geckos. We got a trio of dumeril boas, and nice. Then we got a few carpet pythons.
So you have a pretty good variety of stuff. Now, how did you you own a company called Aquatic Oaks. Can you tell our audience a little bit about Aquatic Oaks and how that came to be as well?
Growing up, my dad always had fish tanks. And I did a lot of woodworking, cabinet work, stuff like that. Senior year of high school, thought it'd be really cool to kind of combine auto work with cabinet work and see if I could actually water seal wood and make it hold water. I actually ended up building a entertainment center that had a 90-gallon fish tank in the middle of it. And it was all out of wood except the glass front. And then I made a few racks for some friends of mine and stuff for reptiles. And then last fall, we decided to go ahead and take a swing at it. And we hit a couple of reptile expos that were local and sold a few racks that way. And still just kind of trying to get our foot in the door. But
right. And by the looks of it, for our audience, that's actually a enclosure that he built sitting behind him. And it's actually the enclosure that's included in the raffle. You can view a picture of it on Reptile Living Room Facebook fan page, and it's an awesome enclosure that he built. It's definitely awesome. Now, I have a question on the actual painting on the back. Did you actually paint that yourself, or is that sticker form?
It is actually painted. There's a local artist here in town that she had painted a bunch of murals and stuff on some buildings, and I had discussed it with her about a year and a half ago when I first started trying to put something together on this, and asked if she'd be interested in doing a painting for the mural on the background. And she agreed to it then, and then, yeah, I don't think she realized it was going to be as big as what it ended up being.
Oh, boy. So you have Aquatic Oaks, and you build enclosures and racks and great-looking ones at that. How'd you come about bringing together this Frilled Warrior project? And before we get into bringing that to the idea of even doing something like this, I mean, it has to be a massive undertaking in amount of time.
Yeah, I've somebody asked me about it at the first Reptile Expo I took it to, and that was in April. It was the first one I took it to was in Des Moines. There really weren't any pictures or anything posted about it before that. That was kind of the whole big debut of it. And I was asked by one of the other vendors how much time I had in it, so I actually sat down and figured it out. I had about 18 months wrapped up in it before I actually took it to the first show. The majority of that was going around asking for donations, asking for supplies, you know, spent a lot of time trying to find a nonprofit organization that would back the project. Most of them, they want something in return.
Right.
I sent, as kind of a last effort type thing, I sent USARC a message on email, and they responded back within a couple hours and said anything they could do, they'd help out. Sent me their tax their nonprofit tax organization number so that I could actually start rounding up supplies and stuff like that.
Great.
Oh, wow. Very cool.
So, how'd you come up with the name, Frilled Warrior?
I actually talked to, you know, one of the first steps was, you know, the nonprofit organization, which USARC helped out drastically with. And then from there, I needed to know what the animal was that was going to be donated so I could build the enclosure to fit it. I talked to a few local breeders. Most of them were, you know, ball pythons, stuff like that. And that's not really like what I was looking for, because I wanted that really cool display animal. And I talked to Robert Winger that owns Frilled One Reptiles. And he had mentioned that, you know, he'd love to donate to it, mentioned originally a gargoyle gecko, and then kind of threw in there that, well, I could actually do a frilled. And I just kind of jumped on the idea. And I figured the frilled really kind of fit in cool with the warrior, you know, wounded warrior thing, and it was just one of them things. I threw it together one time and went, hey, you know, that sounds kind of cool.
Now all the proceeds, just so our audience know, all the donations that you gather for this Frilled Warrior Project, all those donations are going to the Wounded Warrior Project. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And if nobody knows what the Wounded Warrior Project is, you can actually go to our Facebook page. I have a link to their Facebook page, or just Google Wounded Warrior Project. Great organization, and it'll go through the whole ordeal. So now you have your Frilled Warrior, and did you start building the cage prior to that, or did you do it as soon as you knew that was the animal?
As soon as I knew what the animal was, I didn't have a whole lot of experience with frilled dragons. Still really don't. But having Bob or Richard that's that close, it was really easy to talk to him, ask him kind of what I needed as far as, you know, I sent him a picture, just a sketch, said this is what I have in mind. And kind of rolled with that, and it worked out pretty decent. I mean, it was extremely helpful to have him there. And then once I got it drawn up, then I started going out and finding people to donate the lumber supplies and stuff like that. So
great. Now, you said you had to round up a bunch of other donations. So we have the enclosure, which you built, which is from Aquatic Oaks. What else does it entail? What else does the whole enclosure entail into this raffle?
That's what I was going to say. It's kind of like, if you could walk us through the build, kind of, you know, how difficult was it to get the actual materials, you know, with having a nonprofit versus not having it? Because it sounded like when you first went around, everybody's like, yeah, sure, we'll sponsor you if you'll, you know, give me something. And it's
right.
It's like everybody had their hand out to you, and it was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, and that's kind of what it was, you know. It was, yeah, we'll help you out, but, you know, we're a nonprofit, but are we going to get something out of this? And the whole concept was behind it that I didn't want to break it up to numerous organizations. I wanted everything to go to one person or one place.
Right.
As far as picking up the lumber, I really lucked out. There's a couple of lumber yards here in town that are just tremendous. I went to one, I had a list of lumber supplies, and, you know, he was, well, you know, I'll do a couple $100. All right, that's cool. So I went to the other one, figured he'd do about the same, you know, and then I figured I'd hit, you know, Lowe's or Menards or somebody and have them cover the rest. And I went to the second one, and he took my list, photocopied it, and asked if I wanted to go pick it up now. And he donated everything on the list, and then I picked up some odds and ends and stuff from the other guy that, you know, donated a couple $100 worth, you know, trim pieces, right, stuff like that.
Wow.
Wow, that's unbelievable. that's great. I mean, it's great news. Not only for you, you know, to help you out. That must have helped you out tremendously. And then running around all through town and a little bit here, a little bit there, you were able to just pick it mostly up at one spot and be done.
Yeah, it was. I was about floored when he's, you know, just took the list, photocopied it, and okay, I got it.
Unreal. So now, give us the dimensions of the actual enclosure and talk to us about, you know, what all is included here.
The actual enclosure itself is a cage and a stand, and then it's got a built-on canopy that covers all the lighting fixtures.
Okay.
The very top of the canopy actually has hidden handles that you pick up, and you can pull the whole top off. The cage itself is 4 foot by 4 foot and 2 foot deep. And the whole thing, total height, is about 6'5" or 6'6". So it's a pretty impressive piece when you set it somewhere.
Yeah.
as far as it comes with what I consider one of the better thermostats on the market, I contacted Spider Robotics and asked if they'd be interested in donating a thermostat. And he jumped on it pretty quick. I gave him my address and email information, and he mailed off a Herbstat 1.
Wow.
That will go with the project. And then I've got, let's see. Jimmy Steflig from Southwest Wisconsin Reptiles. Mm-hmm. He donated most of my heating and lighting supplies.
Oh,
and
okay.
Then Bart's Exotic Pet Store out of Omaha covered the rest. So those two guys were a huge benefit and help.
Wow. That's awesome. Now, somebody's saying that this thing, this is actually includes being delivered to the winner's home?
Yes. And that's a really cool thing. I was kind of talking to Jimmy about it and threw it out there, kind of saw, you know, well, what do you think about this idea? And he thought that was just a tremendous idea because something that big would just be ungodly to ship. So
yeah, no kidding.
It's actually going to get sent, you know, I'll deliver it in my truck or with my truck. And then it'll be in an enclosed trailer when I bring it to the person's house. You know, all the supplies set up, everything. I mean, it's a pretty cool deal.
Wow. That's just amazing. I'm just blown away at the size of this enclosure. It's delivered to your dang
any
door.
Place across the whole 48 states.
Yeah.
Where do you want the winner to come from?
Yeah,
where do
really.
You want to visit so you can deliver it there or herp the way okay. there and herp the way back?
Are you sure you don't want to come to Canada, Joy?
Well,
are you absolutely sure it's only in the lower 48?
I've actually had one person already enter from Canada.
Really?
They asked, you know, if I would take it to them. I told them I'd meet them, you know, basically at the border or a neighboring state or something, you know, and they can take it from there.
Oh, my God.
They were completely cool with that idea, and you know.
oh my gosh!
But yeah, I mean it's a guaranteed winner. Even if somebody, you know, if they don't want to win the project and you just want to make a donation, you know, that's totally cool. I'll still put your name in if I draw your name. And say you don't want it, but you know you got a family member that lives in Florida or something, and they'd be interested in it. That's cool. Give me their name, address, phone number. I'll call them, see if they're interested in it, and I'll take it to them. Otherwise, if you're just not interested in it and don't know anybody that is, I'll draw the next name on the list. But someone's guaranteed that they're going to win it.
Damn. And basically your tickets are buying a bumper sticker, which are $10 each or 3 for $25, and each
yeah.
sticker purchased is a single entry into the raffle.
Right. That's either stickers or there's two different styles of T-shirts that also get you an entry if you purchase a T-shirt.
Oh. Hey, Chad, don't you? There you go.
Yeah, there's one of them.
Nice. Unreal. Okay, so now break it down for our audience once again, Deloitte, just so we're all clear on this. Almost all of it goes to Wounded Warriors, right? The Wounded Warriors Project, which is basically helping wounded vets get back into, is it the workplace or is it just coming back home alone?
It's kind of both.
Okay.
To me, the easiest way to describe Wounded Warrior Project is everybody knows about St. Jude's and what they do.
Yep.
Wounded Warrior Project is like a St. Jude's for the Warriors. They come home, whether it's mental or physical disabilities or, you know, issues, they will actually bring the soldier's family close to them for the rehab process and all of that stuff, and it doesn't cost the families anything.
Wow.
It's a really cool project because it helps them get reassociated with normal civilian life, plus it also helps get them into the workplace and into jobs.
Wow. And that's definitely a necessity. I know from my dad having lots of military experience with that and the reintegration processes that have to take place, so to speak. It's not easy. So knowing that that project is out there, that's definitely something that we definitely need, for sure. Just amazing. So, gosh, I don't even know what else to ask. This is just, I'm just floored that it's delivered to anywhere in the 48, you know, anywhere for $10. I mean, it's just.
I'm already looking in my house what wall I want it on, and how much I'm gonna spend. I think I need to buy like 5 or 10 T-shirts because I want that thing on. I got a perfect wall right in a foyer area that would actually go great. So you have different types of T-shirts too. So you have like the army green, and you have a couple different camouflage ones too. Is that correct, Deloy?
Yeah. I actually have. There's a pink camo.
All right, and for the girls, for the women.
Yep. And there's also a yellow. And there is a black, but I don't have a black one with me. And as long as supplies last with the purchase of bumper sticker, T-shirt, whatever, you're also given a Wounded Warrior window sticker. And then there's actually Wounded Warrior bracelets. The little stretchy bracelets that come with them.
Right.
Great. Like the little gel bracelets that we see everybody wearing now?
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah, there's, I think, 7 different phrases or something they have on them.
Great.
Okay. Now, you guys have the Facebook page, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And Chad, you can throw a link on the show notes to that. Is that correct? Just checking to see if Chad's awake.
Yeah, he's got it. I have in the event pages, and I also posted it on my Facebook page as well as Reptile Living Room's Facebook page. Okay. I have links to the Frilled Warrior Project's Facebook page. Deloitte, and I'll touch on this. Sorry to interrupt, John.
No,
but
please do.
Can you take us through the process? So I see this show. I'm interested in helping out. I go to your Facebook page. Now what do I do? Is there spots on there for people to click to purchase these items?
What it is you can send a PM on the Facebook page. Let me know what you want and name, address, phone number, and I'll write down your name, address, phone number on as many entry forms as it, you know, with whatever your purchase is. And then I will order the shirts or package up the stickers or whatever, and I'll mail them out to you.
Okay. And it, gotcha. Do you accept PayPal, checks, money orders?
Cash most of what we've done so far has been PayPal's. At the Reptile Expos, we actually have we'll do cash, or we've got a credit card scanner for our phone that goes strictly to the PayPal account.
Okay. So you're at local shows there in Nebraska, is that correct?
So far we've done Des Moines, Iowa, Omaha. I'll be back at both of those in the fall. I'm going to hit one of the Kansas shows. I'm wanting to hit the Manhattan show, but I haven't seen the Manhattan, Kansas show. But I haven't been able to find yet when exactly that is or find entry forms for it yet.
Okay. So pretty much all the Midwest shows in that area. Have you reached out to any of the other shows, like NARBC or anything, to see if they would help support your efforts?
That's what I was going to say.
I thought about getting a hold of, what's his name? Brian Potter?
Yeah.
That runs the Tinley Park?
Yep.
And see if he would, you know, just hook me up with just a small spot to set up the cage and kind of display it and promote it there. And I didn't know, I don't really know who else to really contact as far as the other shows or anything go, but
we might be, Jimmy and Chad, I think we can help out with that. Can we get some more information, or at least get some information to Deloitte about the shows and, you know, talk to some of our sponsors and stuff?
Absolutely, and any of them that are actually watching this show, they can contact us, and we'll get them in touch with Deloitte, or you can catch them on the Frilled Warrior Project Facebook page. Deloitte, are you open to other people volunteering and promoting and selling T-shirts for them as ticket items at other shows throughout the country?
Yeah, I'm all right with that. Jimmy Steffling, actually, I gave him a huge stack of stickers and some bracelets and Wounded Warrior stickers, and he sold some of them at the Wire show, the Wisconsin show.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, nothing would make me happier than this thing just catching fire and going just ballistic. Because I just think that would be one of the coolest things of all time, you know, just a massive showing or something, you know, it'd be really cool.
Right. And word of mouth, I mean, you don't have a lot of large backers support in this project. You pretty much done it, have done it all on your own, which I commend you for. I mean, I can only imagine 18 months of time and then that you've donated. And you're not going to receive payment for an amount of time you put into building the enclosure itself and getting all the supplies and everything together to make this all happen. I commend you for all that. I mean, it's one of those undertakings that had to put a lot of stress and a lot of stress on you. So the least that we can do as a reptile community is kind of pull together to help this project out. Now, do you foresee future ones? Or is this a one-time deal?
I've actually been asked that a couple of times already. and I've thought about it. I did a lot of research into Wounded Warrior Project before I decided to go ahead and do one for them. There's other, you know, military assistant programs and stuff like that out there.
Mm-hmm.
But by the research and stuff I was doing, I didn't really find any of them that do as much or as much impact as what the Wounded Warrior Project did. And there's other ones that I've got in mind, but it won't be an every year thing. It just takes a lot of time to put them together. But depending on how this one goes over, and I'm really hoping it goes over really well, some of the other future ones that I've been kind of kicking around is like doing like a children's Python and doing it for like St. Jude's Children's Hospital, or like a Brazilian rainbow boa and doing it for the American Cancer Society or something like that.
Yeah.
Try to keep the animal, so the animal and the project kind of wrap around whatever the charity is.
Right, for sure.
Great. Hopefully we can get some more backers onto this project. Now, definitely going to promote it. I think it's a great project. I think it fits right into our Independence Day tomorrow. And you know, I think the reptile community will come together for you on this one. We just got to kind of get it out there and spread the word. I know John, Chad, myself, and many of our audience members, they always share throughout the social media networks, so hopefully we can get it out.
James, you know what I'm thinking? Excuse me. How hard would we have to twist somebody's arm to get a banner design that we could put up on the websites, which would be a direct link to his Facebook page to attract more donations.
I don't think it'd be a problem. I think our in-house designers could actually put together a banner ad.
Yeah. And just run it continuously.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, he's got, I mean, the project goes till November 11th, is that correct? You're going to stop actual buying on November 10th?
Yeah, I'm going to do the drawing on November 11th, which is Veterans Day. It ties in great with the project. There were, you know, besides the bigger sponsors that I mentioned, the other sponsors were the couple of lumber yards here in town. There was Sack Lumber and then Crate Lumber. Redneck Geckos off of Facebook is actually donating the feeder supply.
Cool.
It comes with the startup feeder supply. There's a list. I don't have a list in front of me as to what it consists of, but it's a pretty good variety that it comes with. My work, I actually work at Sid Dillon, a car lot here in Crete. They donated some money, you know, to kind of help with t-shirt funding and stuff like that. Then there's Peckerwood's Place, the Facebook group. and Shamrock Serpents, which is Chad's contribution. Southwest Reptiles, which is Jimmy. The Trophy Shop actually made this, like, really cool plaque that goes with it. And it actually has a list of all the sponsors. And it's the same information that's on the back of the t-shirts, but it's just put on, like, a cool plaque that goes along with it. Heath Sports is where I get all my t-shirts made.
Okay.
And then Precision Signs and Graphics is where I'm getting all my stickers and stuff made. I tried to keep most of the people that made contributions and donations, they're small businesses. They're more the mom-and-pop type shops. I could have went beyond that and got, like, Lowe's, Home Depot. To me, it means more if it comes from the smaller businesses and the smaller, you know, the more mom-and-pop type shop and the family businesses. That might be mainly because I was raised in a small town, but to me it seems a little more heartfelt.
Very definitely. I couldn't agree more, and I definitely like that attitude too, you know, keeping it local and, you know, making sure to use the mom-and-pop shops. That's awesome. Very cool stuff. Oh, we got something from Jimmy. Oh, please show the sticker and the front of the t-shirt. Okay.
Here's the stickers.
Right, hold it. Hold it still right there. I supported the troops with a purchase from Aquatic Oak at Facebook.com. So those are the bumper stickers. And...
and then the front of the t-shirt, let's see, the easiest one to show it on is the green.
You're wearing it.
Yeah, Chad's showing it.
All right, hold on 1 second, Chad. Let me get you up there. So Aquatic Oaks, Frilled Warrior. And that's a picture of Frilled Dragon on the front as well.
Yep.
Nice. Very good stuff,
man. All right, cool deal. I hope that answers your statement there, Cheryl. I hope you got to see it. I have a couple other ones.
Do we? Okay,
let's go ahead and we'll do this one here from Michael Rajkumar. I'm going to kill that name. He'll probably kill me about that. But I have to apologize. I arrived late. I'm going to watch the recording to hear the details about the enclosures, and he actually had another one here. USARC lately is giving a shout out to Worthy Projects. Maybe they might be able to give you a spot in one of their newsletters. Considering that USARC's a supporter of your project, I don't see any reason why not. I know John and I are going to definitely get on board, and we're going to promote it by putting you a banner ad on reptilelivingroom.com. So that'll run between probably in the next couple weeks. We'll get those banners up from our design team, mm-hmm. and we'll run on Reptile Report or reptilelivingroom.com, and then we'll run it on reptileapartment.com, John?
Yeah, and we might as well run it on Reptile Apartment Canada too, with a notation somewhere on the website that says, you know, delivered to the nearest border. We won't make you come to this, you know, we won't make you come to the dark side, Deloitte. It's all right. You can stay in the States.
Well, that's a great. So I'm sure we'll find some more supporters for this project and get this out. It's a great project. I mean, when Chad first told me about it, I was like, we have to get him on and promote this project because it's something a little bit more outside of what we've been seeing inside the reptile community. I mean, and you know, it's not a direct link to a single person. It's not a direct link to an organization that helps us out. It's a direct link to our servicemen and women.
And our service, exactly.
So
what, if you don't mind me asking and being personal, Deloitte, what made you decide on Wounded Warriors? Was there a simple, you know, I'll just let you answer the question.
It was really wasn't anything simple. My family comes from a lot of military. My dad was in the Army. I got an uncle that was in the Air Force. One grandpa was a Marine. Another one was a Beret. And I've had a lot of friends that went to the military. I tried, but I dislocated my second and third vertebrae, so they didn't want nothing to do with me. And, you know, I've always been a huge supporter of the military and the armed forces. And I was starting to think about it because, for some reason, the reptile community as a whole gets kind of painted a bad image. It's like pit bull owners and the dog pit bull, you know, they're a horrible animal, and they're not. They're just people don't understand.
Yeah.
Reptile community is basically the same thing. I didn't grow up with reptiles, so I kind of have, you know, I know what people think.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I have some of my own and they're just super cool animals, I can see both sides of it. So this was kind of my way. You know, reptile community does a lot to help, like, USARC and people in it. The thought process behind this deal was I wanted to do something completely out of character for what's been done before. Wanted to put a whole new twist on it, and hopefully through this project and then hopefully through future ones, I can kind of open people's eyes and make them realize that the reptile community is not a bunch of selfish people. You know, we're not a bunch of weirdos that have creepy animals. You know, we're
caring. Me, but, you know.
You know, we're, it's a group that actually, you know, we care. So this was about the biggest thing I could think of to do to try to make an impact and turn some heads to start with.
For sure. And man, it's just so. How long you've been working on this for? 18 months now, total.
That was in April. So I'm a few more months into it now. By the time November rolls around, it'll be. Yeah, I don't even want to think about it, but it'll be a long time.
I just don't understand how this has been going on and not blown up. I mean,
I didn't actually post it anywhere when I was putting it together and rounding up donations.
Oh.
because I was trying to get everything put in place and make sure it was actually going to be able to happen.
Right.
I didn't actually start posting it and trying to run with it until April, right before I did the first show. There's been a few t-shirts and stickers and stuff auctioned off that, you know, the proceeds all went to the project. And I've posted it on, well, I'm not real big on Facebook.
Right.
I mean, I use it and I look and I read, but I don't post a whole lot.
Right.
My wife posts a lot, and she's a member of like a lot of different groups. So she does a lot of the promotion for it, and she's posted it on probably 15 or 20 different reptile groups. So we just keep posting it on those, and she's kind of worried because it hasn't quite taken off the way I was hoping it would or I thought it would.
Right.
But my thought process on it was, you know what, you know, the drawing's not till November. So I think you're going to get a lot of people that go, yeah, you know, that's cool. And then they'll wait. And, you know, because, you know, procrastination.
Well, not only that, with anything that hits the market first, everybody's going to question it. I mean, especially in the reptile industry and the reptile hobby. I mean, we see time and time again people getting burnt over, you know, animals not being shipped. It's one of those hobbies where everybody's really kind of reserved on certain things. So, and by not having it, you know, not promoting it as much. I mean, with the banners that John and I put on, you know, having you on the Reptile Living Room, I mean, hopefully we'll be able to get this up and rolling for you and in the help of the rest of the herp community. I'm sure a lot of people will see this video and contact you and try to give you ways to help out. I have some, you know, John and I will probably come up with some ideas along with Chad. Anything we can do to really make streamline it easier for you from this point until that November 11th drawing. So due to the holiday tomorrow, this show is only going to be an hour long. So we're actually going to close these out. And before we let you go, Deloitte, we want to ask you the famous Reptile Living Room question. If money and laws were no object, what animal would you want to keep?
I don't know. I like the Gila monsters. I just think they're just a big, powerful, kind of cool looking, you know, they're just impressive.
Good.
Fair enough. I visited some Gila monsters out at Bob Applegate's ranch out there. And got to meet Fernando. That was an interesting experience, to say the least. Those Gilas can be quick, let me tell you. They may look sluggish and slow, but they ain't.
Yeah.
And one more mention for Deloitte. Facebook page is one more time. What is it again?
It's just under Frilled Warrior.
Okay.
On Facebook.
So it's facebook.com/ Frilled Warrior, and that's how you'll be able to get to it. facebook.com/ Frilled Warrior. So, all right, Deloitte, well, thank you for coming on the show and telling us all about this great project you have. Hopefully we'll be able to get it up and rolling for you and bring that donation level for the Wounded Warrior Project way up. So,
sure.
John, we got anything in closing? Next week we have an exciting show. But I don't have anything else in closing tonight that I need to discuss. Maybe our executive producer, Chad, may. If not, I think we're good to go. And
we're good to go. And, Deloitte, I will be in touch very soon in regards to the project and some ideas and a couple other people that we might be able to contact for you to make a larger splash, if you will.
Okay.
Hey, I just want to say thanks, brother, for doing this, and we'll be talking soon.
All right.
Definitely an amazing, amazing project. Thank you again.
All right, Reptile Living Room audience, we'll see you next week, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and we'll have another great show for you.